We're going to start on Kuf Chaf Hey Amud Beis, about 15 lines up from the bottom. You'll see the two dots. Zmora Shehik Shura. So we had a case of a vine that was connected to this jar, this jug, this tafiach, in order to be Memale Mayim, so it serves as a, almost like a handle. And it's a branch from a vine. And the Gemara says, Kshura. It's got to be connected to the vine, to the tafiach mibojom before Shabbos in. Only then are you allowed to use this mora to fill up the water. Lo kshura lo. But if he did not tie it down, then he's not allowed to be mamale the mayim, because this mora, as any other eitz, is considered mukta, mukta machmas gufo. And apparently the machshava alone, even though he thought before Shabbos that he would use this mora, that's not enough. The Mishnah stipulates it's got to be kshura. Lema masnis in delokrab shimagam liel, desanyo charios sheldeko. So now we're talking about the branches of a palm tree. They're very dry. And generally speaking, they're used for hasaka, for fuel. Gidoron li'etzim. Now he decides that he is going to cut them and use them for asaka. But nimlach aleihem, he changed his mind li'yeshiva, because apparently these chariot sheldeka could be used also as a chair to sit on. The Braisa quotes the Tanakhama, who says tzarech likshar, that he's got a, it's not enough that he designates it on Erev Shabbos for yeshiva, he has to tie him up. And only then, if he did that on Erev Shabbos, is there a het to tiltul. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, however, Rav Shimon Gamliel is mekil, he says, Einu tzarech likshar. It's enough to have machshava on Erev Shabbos that these chorios shel dekel will be designated for yeshiva. So we see clearly that Rav Shimon Gamliel in Chorio Sheldekel holds Machshav is enough, and therefore in the case of Zmora, he should also hold that Machshav is enough. On Rav Sheshes, no. I feel the same Rav Shimon Gamliel. There's another reason why we're more Machmir in the case of Zmora, but Hochmai Eskin in the case of Zmora is Mechuberes Biaviha, that this Zmora is still tied down to the Eitz HaGefen, so it's still attached to the Karka. And therefore it has the status of an Elon, and the Gemara is established in other places in Shas, in Erevin or Daf Tzadi Tes, for example, that we don't benefit from an Elon. And if you take a look in Beitz on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Eluhem Mishum Shvus Lo Olim Ba Elon. So we, although it mentions only an Olim Ba Elon, but all Tashmishim are excluded and prohibited as far as an Elon is concerned. So here we're benefiting from this Zmora, which is connected in its roots back to the vineyard. And therefore, since it's Mechubel Karka, we're not allowed to use it. So the Gemara asks the following, Ihochi, if you're telling me Komish Tamesh b'Mechubel Karka, is then, what about the Chachamim? Right? In fact, it's a Stam Mishnah. That Kshura, it's Mutter. So why is Kshura going to help us? If it's Mechubel Karka, we're not allowed to benefit from it. So how could we allow using this Mora in our Mishnah? And the Gemara is Lamata Mi Shlosha. That if it's less than three Tvachim from the Karka, then the Chachamim did not prohibit. It doesn't have the status of an Elon, and therefore it's mutter. And Rav Ashi Omer, he gives an alternative answer, afilu teima tlusha, even if we're going to say that the case of Zmora is not when it's attached to the karka, we can still reconcile the chumra and the requirement of kshira with the sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who allows, in the case of chorios, just machshav alone, and that is gzera shemi yiktom. When he sees that the Zmora is a little bit too short or too long, because he needs to use this Zmora in the capacity of drawing the water through this tefiach, And he'll see, it's, let's say it's too long. Now this Zmorah is very soft, it's very easy to break it, so we're afraid that he might break it. And if he breaks it and cuts it and prepares it in such a way that it should be perfect and function with the Tfiach, then it becomes a Melacha Makav Patish. Now we get to the Mishnah of Pekak HaChalon, which again we started this on the last year. I want to go over it again so that we can make progress here. And the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer requires kosher v'tolui, so the shutters, in order for you to allow them to put them back and close the window, they've got to be tied down to the window, but not only tied down, they've got to be tolui. They have to be suspended in mid-air. Otherwise, ain pokekin bo. We can't use it to close the shutters. Chachamim, on the other hand, say, no, we don't need, and again, we don't know what we don't need, but let's say for sure we don't need tolui, that it be suspended in midair. Question is whether we need kosher. That we'll get into in Mitzvah Shem. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana, Omar Rab Yochanan, Hakol Modim, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham agree, Shein Osim Ol Aroi B'Tchila B'Yontif, V'Yein Tzorch Lomer B'Shabbos. So let's clear the path for the Machlokes here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and let's understand that even in the case of what's called an Ol Aroi, we don't begin a new binyan of an Ol Aroi on Yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos. Lo nechleku, what is the machlokas shein Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim? And that's where we'll understand Pekak Chalon. El lahosif, are you allowed to add to a binyan aroi, to an ol aroi, since ol aroi itself, even lahaschil, is not a malacha d'oraisa? So the Rabbanim made a shvus and they prohibited an aroi situation. But what about being mosif, adding something to an aroi? In other words, the ol aroi is already there. You're just adding something to it. And here we have machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ain mosifin. We don't add an aroi on yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos. Chachom Omer mosifim on Shabbos, and certainly on yontif. So in the case of this pekak, what we have here is aroi. Why? Because although he's closing the shutters of this window, but nevertheless he's not leaving it there forever and ever. He's only doing this on a temporary basis. So that's called tosefes aroi. In other words, he's not creating a new binyan. Right? The structure of the building is there. The windows are there. He's adding something by pushing the shutters in, but he's only doing that as a tosefes aroi, because it's an addition to an already structured building. So therefore, he's not creating a new structure. He is just adding to a structure, which is called tosefes. And not only that, since he intends to put the pekak in and take it out, that makes it into a tosefes aroi. And the Chachamim say, once you get down to that level of a tosefes aroi, that's mutar on Yontif. And not only that, it's even mutar on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, tosefes to an oil is osur. And not only that, aroi is also osur. And even if you combine the two, you still end up with it being osur. And if it's osur on Yontif, how much more so is it osur on Shabbos? Now the Gemara wants to analyze the language of the Chachamim and their Shita. They say, Bein kach u bein kach, pokekin bo. What exactly are they alleviating? What requirement, what condition are they doing away with? My bein kach u bein kach. In other words, if we're talking about tolui and eino tolui, that for sure the Chachamim would be matir. But can we go a step further and assume bein kach u bein kach might mean that bein kosher, bein she'eino kosher? Meaning you could have shutters that are now sitting on the ground, they're not tied down to the window, and you'd be allowed to be pokek, to use these shutters to close your window on Shabbos, according to Chachamim, even though the shutters are sitting on the ground. That's a more extreme kula shita of Chachamim. If we want to be more conservative about it, we're going to say that even the Chacham require kashur, and the shutters have to be tied down to the window in order to allow pokek, but they do away with the requirement of tolui. They don't care one way or the other whether or not the shutters are laying on the ground. That's fine. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer requires not only kashur, but also tolui. And there's an entire discussion here about the nature of this suffix in the Gemara. Is it because of the Issa Tosefes Ol Aroi? Right, we've already established in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Chachamim, you're allowed to be Mosif and Ol Aroi. But Hanochas HaPkak V'Chalon might be an Issa Torah of Boneh, which is called Mosif Al HaBinyan. And the Gemara is now vacillating. According to the Chachamim, do we need the pekak to be kosher, to be tied down, so that it's already considered bonui, as if to say the shutter is a part of the window in the structure of the window, and that has to be done mibodyom, and that's a requirement of kosher. Do the Rabbanan agree and admit that Rabbi Eliezer is right, that we need at least kosher? Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rav Kahana, Chachamim will allow using these shutters to be pokek to close up the window. Bein kashur, and now we're up to kuf chafavim and aleph. Bein kashur, bein she'eno kashur. Whether or not it's tied. V'hu ki misukan. As long as this was taken care of on yesterday. In other words, yesterday he had a machshava before Shabbos that he wants to be mishtamish with these shutters as a pekak, and then the pekak is considered part of the binyan, and therefore he's not being mosif al binyan, he's just closing up a window, and it's mutter, even though it's not kosher, as long as it was mesukan on Erev Shabbos he prepared it. That designation on Erev Shabbos is sufficient. And this is something that we saw in a very similar vein in Rav Shimon Gamliel in the case of Churios Shel Dekel. And he wants to use them for sitting. He doesn't have to tie them up and pile them up. He doesn't have to make any change. Machshava alone is enough. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Abba. Omalei Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah turns to Rabbi Abba and he says, why did you decide to be poshet this suffix lakula and interpret the Chachamim as allowing a pekak for a chalon even in the case where it's eno kosher? V'lema mar, couldn't you have interpreted the Chachamim that when they said bein kachu bein kapokakin, what they meant was bein tolui bein she'eno tolui, but the basic condition of kosher is conceded by the Chachamim. They concede to Rabbi Eliezer that at least chach that you have to have. It's got to be kosher. It doesn't have to be like Rabbi Eliezer says kosher v'tolui. The Rabbanan are willing to waive the second condition, the second requirement of tolui, but nevertheless they do require kosher. So that even if it's dragging on the floor, that's okay. And Rabbi Eliezer says dragging on the floor is not okay. Ain't pokikimbo. And the Chachamim are saying Beinkaku Beinkaku, whether it's dragging on the floor or it's suspended in midair, in both cases, it's not considered that you're really participating in some sort of act of binyan here, and therefore it's mutter. And that would mean Bein Toli Bein Toli, but Kosher Chach, that basic requirement, even the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, that you need Kosher. And Machshava alone, which he calls Mesukan, is not enough. And now Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to prove his approach that the correct interpretation of the Chachamim is that although they'll do away with the requirement of Tolui, but they still require Kashur, The Omer Rabba Bar Chana, Omer Rav Yochanan, ki machlokes kan, kach machlokes bin neger hanigror. So that Rabba, the name of Rav Yochanan, identifies the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachomim about Pkak Chalon with the Machlokes Tanoim regarding Neger HaNigrar. And here we have to learn a Mishnah in Masechta Erevin. Disnan Neger HaNigrar Nolim Bo Bamigdosh Avalo Bimedina. So when we have this Neger HaNigrar, which we'll explain, then, according to this Mishnah, it's Asur Begvulin, outside of the Migdash, but it's only a Shvus. And if it's only a Shvus, then we have a principle called Ein Shvus Bemigdash. Now, why is it that this Neger HaNigrar is only a Shvus? So we're talking about locking a door, and this Negar is a kind of a utensil that's used to lock up a door. You have a hole in the doorpost, and this neger is meant to be placed in a firm way into that hole in such a way that it locks the door. So this object called a neger, we'll call it a bolt, which is used to lock the door, has to be nigrar in order to allow it in the migdash. And that's the basic requirement, because the end of this brisa establishes, of this mishnah, establishes that munach, if the neger is munach, it's not attached at all to the delis, is kan v'kan osur, even in the Beis HaMikdash is osur. Because you have to take this neger and you have to push it into the char in order to lock the door, and when you do so, that's called tosefes al binyan. And tosefes binyan is a problem on a doraisa level of meleches bona, so we can't be matur even in the Mikdash. So that's called munach as opposed to nigrar. If on the other hand it's nigrar, meaning that it is kosher, it's tied down but it's dragging on the floor, so it's already been tied down to the door, that's not called hosaf al binyan once it's tied down. But tying it down is a basic requirement. Now, in Medina, we're not going to allow the negra nigrar, even if it is tied down, because it's dragging on the floor. And perhaps we could identify that with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Because if you remember Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of a pkak, a chalon, he said it has to be suspended in midair. It's not enough that it's kosher, we also require tolui. So again, on a doraisa level, when he's tokea, when he pushes in this bolt into the hole of the door in order to lock the door, that's not a violation of leches bona, because he already tied it down to the door. And that makes it kielu part of the structure itself. It's already nivne kvar mibodyon. But on a drabona level, we were afraid that if we would allow you to do it in the case of kosher, and it's not nigrar, it's not tolui, I mean it is nigrar, it's not tolui, then the Rabbanon are afraid of nira kibinyan, right? In other words, this kshira is not a kshira ha nikeris. So they made a gzera that he shouldn't lock his door with it unless it's tolui bi'avir. If it's tolui and not nigrar, then that's considered nikar yoser. It's much more apparent to the eye that it was connected and it was tied down to the door. And therefore the Rabbanan prohibited that, because this ne'ila is a locking in which it looks like he's building something, because the kshira is a kshira shein nikeres. At what point does he convert into a Kshir and Ikeres, and we remove the Gzeres Chachamim? That's when it becomes Tolui. So if it's only Kosher and not Tolui, the Kshira is Eina Ikeres, and we're afraid that it looks like he's adding to a Binyan, and therefore we're only going to allow this in the Migdash. Because in the Migdash, even though we can't see the Kshira, we know that it's there, so to speak. Again, if it's Munach, meaning it's not Kosher at all, then even in the Medina, even in the Migdash, it's awesome. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama here in the Mishnah. However, the dissenting view is that of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMunach is B'Migdash, V'Hanigrar is B'Medina. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the case of a Nagar HaNigrar, which means that even though it's kosher, it's not Tolui, that's absolutely mutter. In other words, he considers this as a kesher, which is nikar, and we don't have to worry about it, even though it's not Tolui. And the Tanakhama holds, no, if you want to get a kesher on nikar, it's got to be Tolui. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says that kosher is enough to be matir, again, if it's munach al gabi ha'aretz, then it's only mutar in the Migdash. And since he prepared it mibodyom for locking up his door, it's already considered part of the binyan. And therefore when he attaches it with a tekiah and he puts it firmly in the door, that's not considered a meleches boneh. And it, although it's asur min rabbanan, nevertheless, in Migdash, we say that there's no shvus in Migdash. But again, once we get to the point where it's kosher, even though it's not Tolui, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed even in Medina. So kosher is enough without Tolui. And now we begin to understand that Rabbi Yochanan is going to identify this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda as identical with the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the case of Pekak HaChalon. And once again, we want to know, is it kosher is enough? Or do you also require Tolui? But one thing is crystal clear, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that we must require kosher, that's for sure. Even the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we require kosher. Visanya, we learned also in a Braisa, Ezehu neger hanigra shenolim bo b'migdash avalo b'medina, which is that middle case where, according to the Tanakhama, we can only allow this in Migdash, and that is kol hakosher v'tolui v'rosho magia la'aretz. It means that even if this neger is tied down, and on the top part it's tolui ba'aretz, in other words, part of this neger does not reach the ground, but we have not only the Rosho HaElyon, we have the Rosho HaTachton, and that is dragging on the ground. And therefore, outside the Migdash, it's Osur B'Ne'ila. Why? Because part of it is Nigrar. And because part of it is Nigrar and not Tolui, therefore, it is prohibited. So Rosh HaTachton is Nogeh Ba'aret, so it's not Tolui, therefore it's also Linol Bo B'Medina. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zeh, this Neger that you describe, well, it is tied down, and therefore Af B'Medina Mutar. El Ezish B'Medina Osa Koshein Elo Koshev Elo Tolui. U'menicho B'Keren Zavis. So if he takes this bolt that he needs to lock his door, and he puts it in a corner, and it's no longer kosher, it's not neither kosher nor is it Tolui, then that's Osir, and there's no question about it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue that in a case where it's kosher, and even though in the Rosh HaTachton it's Nogea Ba'aretz, and it's not Tolui, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter in the Medina. And the Chachamim say, no, I need both kosher and tolui. And here the Tachton, the Rosh HaTachton, is no gebar, it's dragging on the ground. So it's not suspended in air. And therefore, you're not allowed to use it to lock your door b'medina, because we have two conditions. We require both kosher and tolui. So we see that even Rabbi Yehuda's the Mekil, and he doesn't require that the neger be tolui, but he does require that it be kosher. And in the absence of kosher, of kshira, ain nolim bo b'medina. And Rabbi Yochanan now is equating these two machlokas, and the one about pekak between Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim, and the one about nagar and nigar, machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. And it's clear now that everybody agrees in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference that we must have kosher. And now Rabbi Yirmiyahu is going to go ahead and strengthen his kasha from a different amora. Om Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba Mishmei de Ula Man Tana Rabbi Eliezer, who's the Tana who holds that in the case of Neger and Nigrar in Medina, it's Asur because it's Nigrar, meaning it doesn't have the additional condition of being Tolui. Says Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, that's Rabbi Eliezer, who prohibits in our Mishnah Pekak if it's not both kosher and tolui. So you can see from Ula that Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees in the case of Neger, and he says all you need is Kshira, he holds like the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, as regard to Pekak, and even if it's Nigrar, that's enough. But since at the end of the day, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you need kshira, so we see that according to the Chachamim in Pekak against Rabbi Eliezer, what you need is kshira. That's an absolute basic requirement. They're willing to waive the requirement of tolui. So now this is all akasha, which was asked by Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Abba. So now we give Rabbi Abba a chance to reply to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Anodi Amriki Haitana. My interpretation of the Chachamim, that we can be mekil in the case of Pekak, even if it's not kosher, is because I'm going like a Tana, which I'm about to quote, in a Braisa. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Kona Shehiskino Balavais Lios Poseafinobo Esadeles. So we have here a pole, and it was prepared by the Baal HaBayis mentally to be used to open and lock the door. Now let me just add a few words here. He says the following: a rod that was prepared by a homeowner for use in unlocking and locking his door, the rod would be inserted into a hole on the wall near the door to keep the door closed, which basically is serving the same capacity as we saw in the case of Neger to lock the door. Again, we're talking about a piece of wood, which normally a rod that normally would have been mukta, but in this case, since he decided that he wants to use it to lock and unlock his door, it's no longer mukta. And now we have in the Tanakhama of this Brisa another condition, Bizman Shekosher Vitoli Bepesach. So again, we needed to be Nikar, that it was prepared to open and close this door. And that's what we'll achieve by tying it down and suspended in midair. Poseach v'nolbo, then you're allowed to use it to open and lock your door. Aval, but in the case of ein kosher v'tolui, if you don't have both these conditions of tolui, of kosher and tolui, ein poseach v'nolbo, you're not allowed to use it to lock or to open your door. It's nirik binyan. And we see clearly here that the Chachamim require both kosher and tolui. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Misukan, Aval Pisheno Kosher at all. It means that all you have to do is b'machshava, you have to prepare it before Shabbos, and then you're allowed to use it to open and close your door, even though it's not tied down at all. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is matir even without kshira, and he's talking to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim and our mission in the case of Pekak hold like Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Bein Kachu Bein Kach means Bein Kosher L'Sheino Kosher. So we now have a source for Rabbi Abba, who had the most makil, the most lenient interpretation of the Chachamim in Pekak, namely that the Chachamim require neither Tolui and not even Kosher. And we see that clearly here from this Brisa, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that as long as you are making it, the machshava, that's enough. And basically, according to Rabbi Abba, that's the sheet of the Chachamim with regarding Pekak. They don't require Benkach or Benkach, whether it's kosher or not. It's mutter. Okay, fine. So now we have one shita which is represented by Rabbi Abba, and he's interpreting two Tanoim in line with his shita, and that's Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Brisa of a Kana Shiskino Balabayis Liels Posefino, though, and the Chachamim in the case of Kaka Chalon Benkach Ubenkach Pokekinbo. And we don't require neither kshira nor tolui, and it's all based on machshava, and that's called misukan. And according to Rabbi Abba, we'll have the shita of the Rabbi Eliezer and Pekak. He goes to the other extreme, and he requires both kosher and tolui, two requirements. And then we have the shita of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi quoting Rabbi Yirmiyah. And in that shita, we're going to require, according to the Chachamim, kosher. Machshav alone is not enough. And we see this twice, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. We have it once in the case of Pekak, because we're interpreting Pekak in the Chachomim Ben Kach U Ben Kach, means whether or not it's Tolui or it's Nigrar, as long as it's Kashur. And we have the Chachomim in the case of Negar and Nigrar, and they will prohibit using the Negra Nigrar to lock up your door b'medina on Shabbos, obviously, because it's Nigrar, meaning although you have kosher, we need it to be not only kosher, but we need it to be tolui. And we can identify the Chachamim now with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that although Munach is Asur b'Medina, but Nigrar is Mutar in Medina, even though it's not Tolui, but it is Kosher. So that's going to be the Shita of the Chachamim according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're going to require that it be Kosher, and we're going to reject Rabbi Eliezer's double requirement of Kosher v'Tolui. And in the case of Neger and Nigra, we're going to have, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the same identical machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be represented in the Chachamim, and all he needs is Neger and Nigra, which means even though it's not Tolui, it's only Kashur. And we'll identify him with the Shita of the Chachamim in Pekak. And then we have the Shita of the Tanakhama in Neger and Nigra, who requires not only kosher, but also tolui, at least in the Medina. And we'll identify that with the shita of Rabbi Eliezer with regarding Pekak HaChalon. And Pekak HaChalon, according to Rabbi Eliezer, requires both kosher and tolui. Omer Rabbi Yudabar Shilat, Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Locha, Kirav Shimon Gamliel. which means that you're allowed to lock your door with this kana, with this reed, even though it's not tied down at all, as long as you have machshava and you designate it as such before Shabbos, and we're not choshesh that it looks like Mosif al Binyan. So the Gemara asks, "Mi omer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Is your tradition of Rabbi Yochanan correct? Vasnan? What are we going to do with the Mishnah and Rabbi Yochanan's comment on the Mishnah? Kol kisuyei akelim sheyesh ben beis achiza nitolim b'shabbes. Cover lids, in order to be functional, they need a handle. And if they have a handle, they're not muktza. If they don't have a handle, they're muktza." That's the Mishnah later on. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan, Vahu sheyesh toras kli aleihem. That this heter to be metaltel, kisuye kelim, has to have, the kisui has to have another tashmish. That's why Rashi learns another tashmish, besides functioning as a cover, it has to have another purpose, another function. And the reason why it's a kli is because it has the other function. Meaning, the kisui itself, its designation as a covering, that's not enough to generate a shame kli, to consider it as a kli. And therefore, if this kisui, says Rabbi Yochanan, is not suitable for any other function, then it's muktzah, and you can't be metaltel it. So that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you have a kisui keli, even if it has a beis achizo, that's not enough per se. It's got to be roy. It's got to be fit for some other tiltel, for some other purpose, and tashmish in order to be mati tiltel. And according to that, in the case of a kane, which is mukta in and of itself, he designated it for opening and locking his door. Well, guess what? Other than that, it has no function. And the eel itself is not enough of a function to be machshevit, just like we said in the case of kisui, that itself is not enough to be machshevit as a kli. You need some other function. And we know that, let's say, you know, ne'ila is part of a shimush of binyan, and we're going to view that as a shimush of binyan, but not as a shimush of a kli. That's how Rashi learns it. So when we talk about Torah's kli, then we have to have two tashmishim. We have to have not just in the case of a rod, right, of a kaneg, not just the shimush of binyan. We also have another shimush, and Rabbi Yochanan would say that in the case of kisui kli, we need another shimush other than kisui in order to make it into a Torah's kli. You have to have two tashmishim. So now we're in trouble. Why? Because we just said that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to allow you to use this kana to unlock and lock your door simply because you had that machshava beforehand. Well, where's the Torah's kli? It's got to be mukta under the requirement of Rabbi Yochanan in the case of kisui kelim, because Rabbi Yochanan and kisui kelim is committed to the position that we need a Torah's kli, which means it has to have another function. And what other function does this reed have other than locking and unlocking the door? You know, he sticks it into the hole in the door and pulls open the door. V'chi teima hachinami te'ika Torah's kli olav. Maybe when Rav Shimon Gamliel was matir tiltil v'kone to open and lock the door, it was talking about a case where it has another function. Now, exactly what that other function is, we'll have to work that out. He doesn't specify exactly what it is. Maybe lafok bozesim, Rashi says. In other words, you want to check whether the olives are ready to be sent to the olive press. So what you have to first do is you have to see if they're soft. And you can check that out by using a kana That's called lafoch boas azesim kidei livdok im israchach who called sarkom anitan lotzion lahotzi son l'shamnon. In other words, you can use it now to extract the oil. Perhaps another function, Rashi says, of the reed is liftsavo gozim. It can bang it on walnuts. So maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel requires Torah's kli. And if that be the case, then there's no contradiction here between Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Kisui Kalim, where he requires Torah's Kli. So both the Kana for unlocking the door, etc., requires Torah's Kli and has other functions, as we mentioned before. And in the case of Kisui Kalim, we're going to require Torah's Kli, some other function. Maybe you could use it as a table, you know, to feed a child. So the Gemara says, no, you cannot interpret Rav Shimon Gamliel in that light, because for Asani we have a brisa, chario shel dekel. So you have these branches of a date tree, they're very dry, and gidoron l'shem eitzim. As far as his preparation is concerned, initially when he cut them down from the palm tree, he had in mind that they should be fuel, which is muktzamach maskufo, but v'nimlach aleihem. Now, he decided that, you know what? He wants to use them. Boy, what is he going to use them for? For yeshiva. The Tanakhama of this brisa says, tzarech likshar. You've got, on Erev Shabbos, you have to tie them up and stack them up one on top of the other in order to be matir the tiltil. If you didn't do this kshira, then it's muktza. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says, ain't tzarech likshar. All he needs is machshava, that he decided that he wants to designate these chariot shel dekel for the purpose of sitting on them. And where's the Torah's kli over here? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is being matir chariot shel dekel without a Torah's kli. It has no other function. So therefore, in the case of Kana, Rav Shimon Gamliel would be matir it even if it doesn't have another function. There is no Torah's kli olav. And now, Rabbi Yochanan, who in the case of Kisui Kalim required a Torah's kli, is now passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who certainly doesn't require a Torah's kli. All he requires is machshav bilvad. So the Gemara answers that Rav Shimon Gamliel is accepted, but only partially, by Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you're allowed to be metaltel a kana in order to open and close your door, even though it doesn't have a Torah's kli, Rabbi Yochanan sviru lekevose bechada upolagale bechada, he accepts Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on one point, and he rejects it on another point. Let's see how we split this up. With regard to the Iser of Kana, and you have a Kana which is prepared, but it's not tied down, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you don't have to tie it down, here, Rabbi Yochanan is going to pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And we're going to say that what's the issue about this kana? Maybe it's nira kibinyan. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is going to accept Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's not nira kibinyan, and therefore we don't have to be choshesh. But when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says in the case of muktzah that in order to be matir tiltol hakana is you want to tell me that you don't need a Torah's kli olav, that's where Rabbi Yochanan parts ways with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So in the case of using a rod as a lock, even though it's not attached to the door, you don't need kosher. Here, Rav Yochanan accepts Rav Shimon Gamliel. You don't require kosher. But if you ask whether the rod has to be able to function in a broader capacity as a kli, a Torah's kli olav, for example, he's going to hack some walnuts and open them with this rod, or perhaps he's going to use this rod to test out the olives that we mentioned before. That is where Rabbi Yochanan parts ways with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says Machshav is alone and you don't need a Torah's kli. So again, the fact that he relieves the requirement of kosher, that Rabbi Yochanan accepts, but to relieve the requirement of the Taurus Kli, that he doesn't accept. It's not enough, as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would have it, that it's no longer muktzah because it was designated for a certain purpose. No, it has to have a Taurus Kli. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Darash Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Pischa the Reish Galusa. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is at the entrance of the house of the Reish Galusa. Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, in the case of Pekak, what we need is that it be both kosher and tolui. Masiv Rav Amram. Rav Amram asks from a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah way later on, towards the end of the Masechta, and it says, Umi divrayam lo manu shepokikin umodidin v'koshrin b'shabbos. Okay, so let's see the beer on this Mishnah. He says, Mutul Shabbos lifkok esachalon af bidavar she'eno kosher ve'eno tolui, and limdo b'medida shel mitzvah. Okay, that's a topic unto itself. Let's say, for example, you want to check out a mikvah and you want to know if it has the gova of 3 amos, it has the rochav of amal ama, and the shear of mikvah, and this kind of medida shel mitzvah is mutter on Shabbos. That's called modedin. Then we have kosherim, and that's called the kesher she'eno shel kayom. All this is mutter, and the Mishnah is a stab Mishnah. In the case of pokekin, which is the first case enumerated by this Mishnah, the Mishnah is being makil and allowing pokekin even without kosher and tolui. So how can you tell me that halacha is right, Rabbi Eliezer? We have a principle called halacha k'stab Mishnah. So Abai tries to reject this kasha of Rav Amram. Omalei, Abai says to Rav Amram, my datech. In other words, you thought you could prove from the Mishnah that this Mishnah of Pokekin is against Rabbi Eliezer. It could be that when Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, again, you know, we're trying to imagine if Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha was here, what would he answer? What would he respond? He would say that Mishnah is like the Chachamim, and we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Shuv the Ketani Stomen, it's your kasha, Rabbi Amram, was based on the fact that we have a Stam Mishnah, and therefore we have to paskin halachik Stam Mishnah. And how could therefore Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Pekak, that you require both kosher and tolui when the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, says pokekin without any requirements, any strings attached. But he doesn't have to attach this shutter to the window. So he says, Neger and Nigrar Nami Stamahu. Well, we have another Stam Mishnah about the case of Neger and Nigrar, right? That was the bolt that would be attached to the door to lock the door, and it drags on the ground. That's also Stam Mishnah. And there he requires kosher and tolui, and if it's Nigrar, then it's awesome. So why do you give more significance to one Mishnah, the Mishnah of Pokekin, than you do to the Mishnah of Neger and Nigra? Afilu hachi maisa rav. In other words, the Mishnah that Rabbi Amram bought has a certain extra power to it, or significance to it. It's more authoritative, and that's because it's a maisa rav. And what's the Maisa Rav over here? So if you go back to Mosiv Rabbi Amram a few lines early in the Gemara, you'll see that he quotes the Mishnah, Midivreim Lamadnu. And then he goes on, Pokekin. So what's Midivreim Lamadnu? So that we have to look at the Mishnah over there on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. And what you'll see over there is that there's a Maisa, Bimei Oviv Sharab Tzadik V'Abba Shol Ben Betinus, Shepokeku Chalon V'Shabbos, b'kli cheres, af shelo haya kosher elov. So you see clearly that they allowed pkak with the case of a kli cheres to be pokek and close it up, even though it wasn't kosher. So that's Rav Amar's question. Why do you, Rav Yitzchak Nafka, paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, although it's true that you have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Nagar and Nigrar, and that would require both kosher and tolui, but I have a mishnah of pokekin, and that mishnah brings down a maisa shahoya, and in that maisa shahoya, they were pokek a chalon on Shabbos, even though the kli cheres was not kosher. And therefore, says Rav Amram, I'm bothered by the fact that you, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, would paskin l'chumra like Rabbi Eliezer when we have a maisa rav l'kula, and that you could be pokek with a chalon even though it's not kosher. And this leads us to the next mishnah, which is the last mishnah in the perek. As we saw before, the requirement in order to allow tiltil of a kisui kli is that it has a beis achiza, it has a handle to it. When do we require a handle? That's only be kisui karkos. That's only when you have, let's say, a bar or a dus, you have something that's subterranean that you've dug in the karka, and you put on top of the bar a kisui cover. So that kisui, unless it has a handle on it, really looks like he's being bona. You know, he's changing a structure of something by putting on top of the bar. And only with the handle is it muchach that he doesn't have any kavana to build. He's going to put it there and take it back. Avol kisui kalim, but in the case of covering for utensils, there we don't need this special heker of a beis achiza, benkach ubenkach, even without the handle, nitolim b'shabbos, against the Tanakam, of course, because we assume that it's not in any way some sort of a binyan here. You know, you know, in the case of kisui karkos, I agree with you. You have to prove that the kisui is not l'shem binyan. And for that you need a beis achiza. But in the case of kalim, there's no need for that. And therefore you don't need a beis achiza. So that's Rav Yosi. So the Gemara says, now that it says that kisui kalim, when it has a beis achila, nitolim b'shabbos, omer Rav Yehuda, bar shilo, omer Rav Asi, omer Rav Yochanan, v'hu sheyesh toras kli aleihem, that you can only be metaltil a kisui kli if it also has another function, if it has a toras kli aleihem. But a kisui kli itself, if it doesn't have another function, is just the fact that you decide that you want to use this as a kisui kli, that's not enough to remove muktzah. Im eina ruim tashmish acher, if it's not a toras kli and it's suitable for another tashmish, then it's muktzah, and you're not allowed to be metaltel. That's Rabbi Yochanan Sheath, and we've seen this in the past. So the Gemara now comments on the machlok shin, the Tanakama of Yossi, regarding kisui kalim, whether you require beis achiza to be matir tiltul or not. The kuli alma, everybody agrees that kisui karkos, if you're covering a bar, then the only way you're allowed to be metaltil the kisui is only im yesh le beis achiza in vim lo. Low, you're not allowed to. You take a kisui of a karka, because without a handle, because it's near a kibinyan. But where is the machlokas b'kisui kalim? Ah, so now we're going to take a look and analyze the case of kisui kalim. So these are not mechubel karka. As afal gav di ein le beis achiza. Oh, even the Tanakam would agree to Rabbi Yossi that you don't need a beis achiza. Ki pligi, what is the machlokas be kalim de chabrinu bi ara? So you have a utensil that was tied down to the ground, like for example a tanur or a kirayim. So it was attached to the ground. But we're not talking about a bar that you have to cover it because otherwise someone's going to fall in the bar. It's part of the structure of the bar, and that's certainly Nirik and Binyan. Is Mar Sover the Tanakam is Machmir, and why does he require in the Kisui of a Tanur a Beis Achiza handle? And the answer is, since it's Mechubar, it's attached to the Karka, it's similar to the case of Bar Vidus, which were dug into the Karka, and therefore we have to have a Gzera Gazrinon, that a Kisui, that Kisui of a sort that's tied down, attached to the ground, like we said about the oven, is in that case, the Tanakhama says we have to make a gzera here because tomorrow you're going to allow yourself a kisui bekarka. Because this case of tanur is very similar to karka. It's gazrinon that we should not allow any kisui of a tanur without a beis achiza. And Mar Sover, but Rabbi Yossi holds Lo Gazrinon. He never accepted this Gzeira Lishnach Rino. The Gemara offers a different version of the Machlokes Shin and Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi. They both agree that in Kisi Karkos you need a Beis Achiza. They both agree that in Kisui Kalim, that in general you don't need a Beis Achiza, as we saw earlier. But Kipli, where is the Machlokes? And the answer is Bekisui Tanur. Because the case of the Tanur is Mechubar Lekarka. Mar Medami Lekisui Karka, Umar Medami Lekisui Kalim. So, according to the second Lishna, we're not talking about Gzera or to Kisui Karkos, but we're talking about Medami. Medami means, is there really a, forgetting about Gzera, but an inherent, essential, and a similarity between Kisui Karka and Kisui Tanur. And according to the Tanakhama, since we have a Tanur which is Mechubar Karka, then any Kisui on the Tanur is like Kisui Karka. And you have to really change this Kisui and change the way you're covering it in order to avoid Meleches Bona. And for that you need a Beis Achiza. But Mar Medami Lekisui Kalim, the Tanur is basically a Kli. Okay, now you attach it to the ground. Very good. But it's a Kisui Kalim. And therefore it doesn't need a Beis Achiza. Hajin Alecha Perek Kol HaKalim. And Emir Hashem, the next year will start the 18th Perek of Shabbos, Perek Mefaneh.